Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 256 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week and I have with me Daryl. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great and I'm very happy to be here.
Yes, it's been a while since you've been on, sort of before.
6 months, about.
Yeah. Has it really that long? Ooh, wow. We really need to get you on more often. But one of the reasons I thought it'd be good to have you on this week is because we're kind of in between the 2 weeks that would have been Birmingham Comic Con and Comic Con London. So,
yeah.
But obviously none of that is happening right now, but that's where I see you. So I thought it'd be nice to have you back on anyway. So what have you been up to in the intervening 6 months?
Well, I've been working, and I've been doing that obviously up to now, but more recently I have been making the best use of on-demand TV.
Good.
So I've been watching Blood Ties. That is a procedural, supernatural procedural, which stars Christina Cox.
Okay.
And it's her as a former cop turned private investigator due to the fact that she has a degenerative eye condition, so she couldn't be a cop in the field anymore.
Right.
And she meets a vampire who I think is about 400 years old, dashing, looks young, and they sort of start to work together on supernatural cases.
Okay. This is an older series, isn't it? It's
It's an older series. It's 2013, I believe it.
2007 to 2008, apparently it was.
2007, yeah. Set in Canada, which is quite nice. Which makes a difference.
Yes, rather than being filmed in Canada and pretending to be New York or something. Yeah.
It's also got Gina Holden in it, who pops up in a few shows.
I know that name.
But yes. It's a lot of fun. I'm watching all these episodes going, why is this cancelled? This is excellent. There was like one episode that dealt with voodoo, which is a bit problematic. But other than that, it was fine.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can find when you go digging through places like Amazon and Netflix.
Well, I can remember because I've definitely seen like ads for it way back when.
Hmm.
But obviously it wasn't airing, so I couldn't see it. So
yeah.
I was like, okay. So I made a note of it. When I saw it on Amazon Prime, I added it to my, to-be-watch list.
Yeah.
So when I had some free time, I would jump in. And yeah, it's great so far. I hear it ends on a cliffhanger, as these things often do when they get cancelled. So
early. Yeah.
But yeah.
Kyle Schmidt is one of the male leads in it.
Yeah, and he does a gourmet detective, I think.
Right, okay. He was apparently in that awful, awful science fiction series, Island, which is on Netflix as well.
I watched an episode of Island because I saw it and I thought, what's this? So I watched the very first one and it didn't make a lot of sense.
No.
Natalie Martinez, I think it is, from Under the Dome and that other sci-fi procedural show that only lasted a season.
APB.
Yep, that's the one.
Yes, that's on Fox at the moment. They're airing the one and only season of that on Fox over here to fill some space.
Yeah, if you got Amazon Prime and you like procedural, it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, procedurals, vampires.
I finished Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I guess it's part three. I'd watched like the first two or three episodes and then just stopped because I just went, doesn't seem to be that interesting.
Yeah.
But then I sat down and resolved to watch all of it and I did. And it gets a lot better after the first few episodes. It really starts moving.
Yeah.
It's one of those always going to be annoying protagonists because he's always going to do exactly the opposite of what everyone else tells him to do. But the show itself is interesting. The lore they dealt with in terms of elder gods, and that's a lot of fun. And the actual show is a lot of fun.
I watched a few episodes of it and just decided, I'm not that massively into horror stuff anyway, and
I'm not a big fan of horror in itself, but
yeah,
it turns into more of a settled plot that moves forward after the first few episodes.
Right.
You're not worried about the Monster of the Week stuff, which was in the first season.
Maybe it's something I need to go back and look at again, but
I'll give a couple episodes, but I can't tell if you don't.
Yeah.
It's a weird one.
Yeah, I tried the first couple of episodes and then I was just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to go back to this. But yeah, I mean, it was all right. Maybe it's one I go back to when I exhaust my list of everything else that I need to watch.
The other one was The Order that just came back, season 2. I mean, literally just premiered, I think, last week.
Yes.
And so I sat down and watched that. And unfortunately, it's a bit of a letdown.
Well, that's a shame.
I had really high hopes for that. Talking to friends of mine, the first season was a bit uneven, right, but still enjoyable.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one, it's a mess.
Oh, dear.
Characterizations all over the place. We get strange episodes that don't feel a part of the rest of the season.
Mm.
I honestly was looking forward to season 2 from the finale of season 1.
That's a shame.
Because it's such a thing. And yeah.
Oh, well, that's a shame. It wasn't one that I actually kind of got to after the last time. It looked interesting, but it wasn't one that I got around to. But there were some fans of it.
Just to explain to people, it follows this young guy starting college and his attempt to get into a secret society at this college.
Mm-hmm.
Secret society is all about magic, and magic is real.
Yes.
And it follows that. And there's a few more things that you learn about once you get into the first episode. But that's what it's all around. It's a weird one.
It's one of those things, again, looked kind of interesting, but didn't grab me immediately. And I never kind of went back. And I think I might have watched the first episode or started watching it. And just, it was when the first one came
like,
out.
I feel like I've been on before and talked about Order. And yeah. I think you said you watched the first episode, yeah.
I think I'd seen some of it, but it came out when there was a bunch of other things on. And it was one of those that I didn't quite get back to.
It did come out at a very busy time.
Yeah.
I think maybe a couple of weeks before they're dumping all the Marvel shows from Netflix. We'll just have to look forward to Lucifer for something supernatural that'd be enjoyable.
Yes.
And the last thing is I was catching up on the Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries, which are these TV movies based on the book series by Charlene Harris, same person behind True Blood.
Okay, yeah.
And they've done 13 of them now. So the first few were basically versions of the books themselves, but now they're going for more original stories.
Okay.
And it stars Candace Cameron Bure. If you're one of those people who watch Murder, She Wrote or Columbo or something like that, you probably enjoy watching this.
Right, okay.
The first three or four on Amazon Prime in the UK, and the rest of them are scattered across various digital channels.
Right, okay. Worth going to look for if you're into that sort of thing. So I've been gaming a bit. I was playing and I talked a lot about Anon 1800, which I was playing a lot last week. I've kind of got to the point where I've done most of the bits and pieces in that, so I stepped away from a bit, but I was still kind of on an Anon kick. So I went to Anon 2205, which is the previous game. I think it's the one that was just before 1800, which is obviously set further in the future. And it's a much simpler game than 1800, but I'm sort of enjoying that after the kind of frantic plate spinning that 1800 can be, because there's quite a lot to do, particularly if you've got all the DLC in that game. Whereas obviously I've got all the DLC for 2205 as well, but it kind of flows together a lot easier. Actually, it's a much more simplified game, which I know some people hated, but I'm actually quite enjoying it, having come out of just playing around with the other games. There's less micromanagement in it, which I quite like. So I'll be playing around with that. And there's also a game called Maneater, where you play a shark, which is great fun. It's sort of done like one of those extreme nature documentary things, is sort of how it's presented, as a sort of TV show, extreme nature TV show, like Shark Hunt sort of thing. And you're playing a shark and you've got to go and kind of bite and eat various things that are in the water. So that includes things like alligators, crocodiles, because you're in a swamp when you first start for reasons, and as well as kind of obviously other fish. And you also get to chomp on a few humans, which is quite good fun. So yes, it's very it's very silly, but quite enjoyable. And I'm told that the problem with it is it gets a bit old fairly quickly, but I did have quite good fun messing around with that. So that's Maneater, which is on the Epic Game Store at the moment, if you want to go and find that.
Oh.
TV wise, I started watching Gangs of London, which I know I'm a little bit late to, because it's been out for probably a couple of months by now.
Yeah, I've seen the advertisements.
Yes, this is the Sky Atlantic series, and it got renewed this week for a second season. And it was the comments that I got on the Facebook page where I posted about the renewal Newell, every single comment about this is amazing, one of the best TV shows I've seen in ages. And I got it recorded on my Skybox and I was like, yeah, I don't know whether I want to watch, you know, London gangster thing. I'm not sure whether I'm going to watch this or not, but I'd recorded it because I tend to record all the new Sky original stuff just to see. I just hadn't got to it. The amount of comments were saying how amazing it was. I was like, okay, I've got to give it a try. One of the reviews from one of the national newspapers, I'm not sure which one it was, described it as Game of Thrones without the dragons. And I can kind of see where he's coming from with that. It's really epic in scope. And some of the set piece stuff, particularly big battle sequences, if for want of a better word, in it, there are some amazing fight sequences and setups and stuff. From the opening moment of it, it's got a really, really catching... I won't obviously say what it is, but from the opening second of the very first episode, it's got a really striking visual style to it. And that opening sequence is just something that draws you in and you kind of want to see where it's going. It's incredibly well acted, beautifully put together. The stunt coordination, like particularly on the action sequences, is like nothing I've ever seen for this sort of drama. You know, it's the type of thing you do see in Game of Thrones. It's that well choreographed. It's really, really well done. For those of you that don't know what the show is about, it's about a family who are the premier gang in London. We're not talking street level gangs. We are talking, these are the money people. These are the people that are the controllers of the supply lines for a lot of the other gangs for getting their illegal product in and out. So they're the linchpin, really, of the entire organization of organized crime in London. It opens with the father. He's a guy called Finn Wallace, who's played by the brilliant Cole Meany from Star Trek various other things, but Star Trek's probably the thing you know him best for.
Yeah, it
starts off with him getting shot. So that's not really a spoiler, because that's sort of the entire premise of it. And he gets shot very, very early on. He gets killed and ends up with Joe Cole, who plays Sean Wallace, his son, taking over the business. So you've got this sort of setup of this gang, which has this major change and this reconfiguration of the landscape. And there is a certain amount of Game of Thronesness even just to that, actually. You've got Michelle Fairley in there. You've got, Cole Meany, Adrian Bauer, Jude Akadei. Just some incredibly strong, solid actors. And it's well, well worth watching. If you're unsure about, you know, and you're sort of thinking, oh, well, it's a British crime drama and, you know, they're 10 to the dozen, this is very, very different to anything else you've ever seen. It's very much on the Sky Atlantic HBO level of quality. I'm halfway through the season at the moment and it's just beautifully done. I'm really looking forward to watching it, for finishing the first season, and I'm very much looking forward to a second one because it's really interesting. Just go watch it. It's Gangs of London. It's obviously on Now TV. It's on Sky Atlantic. You can go and download it now. Can't recommend that highly enough. Really, really solid. Also on Sky Atlantic, they started the HBO Perry Mason series. I actually struggled a little bit with this. Have you seen any of this?
Can't say I have. It seems odd. It doesn't seem to be him being a lawyer.
No, it's not him being a lawyer. It's him as a private detective. And it's Matthew Rhys, who you'll know from The Americans. Yeah. He takes the lead role of Perry Mason. It's interesting because it was developed by Robert Downey Jr. with the initial idea of him playing the role in a film version. And you can sort of see him fitting in that. But Matthew Rhys does a really good job as Perry Mason. I just found it a little bit too slow. It's one of those sort of HBO dramas that just dragging its feet a little bit. And I kind of want to watch the rest of it to see whether it picks up a bit. But you spend pretty much the whole of that opening episode scene setting. And it's not until right at the very final moments that it seems to sort of start to gather up a little bit of steam. So I'm sort of intrigued because I like the environment. It's set in 1932 after the Great Depression. So it's set in a sort of interesting, different world. It's like modern, updated version of it. Although the United States is in the Great Depression, LA is in the middle of an oil boom, the film industry, the Olympics they've just had. So the LA actually itself is going through a bit of a boom period, but most of the country isn't. It's an interesting environment to set it up. There is a child that's kidnapped. Perry Mason gets hired as the person to investigate this. He's a very broken guy. He's clearly suffering from some sort of PTSD. He's drowning it in alcohol. And he's a sort of very flawed character, which is nice as a lead. But it just takes a very long time to get there. And like I say, I'm going to watch a few more episodes of it because I don't just want to judge it on the opening episode. But I actually was struggling a little bit. It's like, come on, move forward. So, yeah, good cast, though, generally. Chris Chalk in there. You've got John Lithgow as well, who is great in pretty much everything. Yeah, I enjoyed it, but just found it very plodding in places. So I'm going to try and watch a bit more and see what I think. One of the other things I watched was Most Dangerous Game, which is one of the Quibi series. And as mentioned a couple of weeks ago, now you can actually stream Quibi to your TV, which you couldn't do previously. I'm actually using it a little bit more. And Most Dangerous Game, it's one of the Hemsworths. It's Liam in this, in the lead role. He is a guy who is suffering from terminal brain cancer. He's a property developer, but they're in a bit of a hole with a building that he can't get rid of. So he's struggling financially. He gets given this card of this guy who is supposed to be able to help people that don't have insurance. That guy is called, in quotes, Miles. He is played by Christoph Waltz, who does an amazing job. And he meets him and makes him an offer. And that offer is, if you are willing to be hunted by 5 hunters across the city for 24 hours, every hour we will put 50 grand into your bank account and every hour it doubles. So it's 50 grand, 100 grand and kind of goes up from there. And he's desperate and he wants to make sure that he's got money for his family moving forward. So he says yes. And that's basically what the show is. I thoroughly enjoyed it. As you know, if it's Quibi series, that means that all the episodes are 8 to 10 minutes long. Essentially, it's a movie chopped into pieces is pretty much how it plays out. You do get arcs over the episode. It's nicely structured and you do get a sort of cliffhangery bit at the end of each episode, which is quite nice. But I kind of binged my way through it in a couple of days fairly easily. You know, you could easily sit there and binge through it in a night without any problem whatsoever. It's really solid and I'm interested to see where they go with it next. I rather suspect that if they do make another season of it, it's likely to have a different lead, but keep Christoph Waltz as the character moving forward. I think that's probably quite likely if they're going to carry on with it. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's 15 episodes, as I say, they're 8-10 minute long episodes. I don't know if you've tried any of the Quibi stuff yet.
No, I can't say I have. It's an odd one.
It is an odd platform and it's expensive for what it is. I'm basically waiting for them to bring out The Fugitive, which is the Kiefer Sutherland series, and it's a sort of remake reversion of The Fugitive. That's the thing that I am actually waiting for more than anything else, but there's been a couple of decent things on there. I watched this and there was another one we talked about a few weeks ago whose name escapes me, but that was quite good as well. Some of the dramas have been quite decent. There are things on there worth watching. I'm just not convinced it's necessarily worth the amount of money they're trying to charge for it, because it's something like $7.99, which is quite expensive. There are free trials out there if you want to try it and give a couple of these things a go. They have got some free trials running. I think if you've got an Apple TV or a Chromecast, you can cast it from your phone to your TV, which originally they weren't allowing you to do, but now they are. They actually blocked the ability to do that for some bizarre reason. They got enough complaints that they actually changed their minds, which I'm very happy about, so I can actually watch it like a normal TV show and not have to watch it on my phone. But yeah, there are a couple of things on there that are definitely worth watching. So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hold up.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So we start off the TV and film news with some renewals, cancellations and pickups. Renewals, Gangs of London, as I mentioned earlier, that has been picked up for a second season, which I'm very happy about. Lucifer has been renewed officially for a sixth and final, yes, really final this time. They are absolutely positive season, which of course the fifth season was supposed to be the final season, and then rumours started swirling that that wasn't going to be and they were going to bring back a sixth season. So that is now officially confirmed, but it is going to be the final season. However, we have got season five. Yeah, really happy about that. They have got season five still to go, and season five is 16 episodes long, split into two. So it's going to be essentially we've got two seasons of eight coming, and then whatever the sixth season ends up being, whether that's another eight or another 10 or 16 or whatever it is, we'll have to see. I'm very happy about this. There's lots more Lucifer on the way, and it means that they've got a proper end point as well. Season five, part one, is coming on the 21st of August. And they have apparently shot 15 of the 16 episodes. So they've got to go back and finish a little bit on part two. But apart from that, it's all in the can. I love this show, though. It's great.
I liked last season. It was interesting. Mm. And I think it's a good spot to continue.
Yes.
As long as they do more with Amy Garcia's character, because she was chronically underused last season.
Yes. She's lovely as well. I've interviewed Amy Garcia. She was only very briefly, but she is really lovely.
She's also really lovely.
I'm looking forward to that. And I do agree. I'd like to see more of her on screen. She was great. Few cancellations. Council of Dads, which was an NBC show, that's been cancelled after one season. That's a shame, but that's never aired over here. Vagrant Queen, which did air over here. That was on Sci-Fi, and it was on Sci-Fi on both sides of the Atlantic. I did watch the opening episode for this, and it was a little strange. Well. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, it felt a bit difficult to pick up. It felt like Killjoy to the next level. That's what it felt like to me.
But not as good, I don't think.
No, it didn't feel, it definitely didn't feel as good as Killjoys. Now, I liked Killjoys okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it felt like it was starting in like the third season or something.
Yes, you did feel very kind of thrown into a middle of a story. And sometimes you can get away with doing that, but I just don't think they pulled it off particularly well. It looked a bit cheap to me as well.
And also I think it was very strange to immediately spend so much time with the villain.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something like that, you need to have like four, maybe five different characters to be dealing with, maybe in different places. It's going to open up a such expansive world, but it was just her and this really overdone villain.
There were potentially interesting things with that. I mean, she had a little group of friends and they were in a school, and there could have been a sort of Buffy-esque element to that if the writing had been better as well, because they were quite a diverse group that were together and, you know, with different motivations and stuff. I think there was something and that you maybe could have got to work there, but sadly, it's not to be. That's got canned after one season. And not so much a show being cancelled, but channels. All the Disney channels are coming off Sky, BT and Virgin in the UK from September, basically because Disney wanted to change the terms of the carriage deal and they've said no. That seems to be essentially what it is. I mean, if it had just dropped off Sky, I would have thought, oh, well, maybe Sky tried to get them to lower the price. But the fact that it's Sky, BT and Virgin, rather suspect that Disney went to them and said, we don't want to pay as much. And they went, hang on a minute, no. So I rather think that it's probably Disney trying to get a lower price for keeping the channels on there. But I kind of get that because they have now got direct access to customers in the UK, so you can move everything onto Disney Plus.
Yeah.
They may still come to a deal at some point.
Might actually have it, so there's some content on it then.
Well, yes, some fresh content, you mean, because their original stuff is pretty pretty thin on the ground.
Yeah.
But it does mean that anything that premiered on a Disney Channel in the UK will premiere on Disney Plus from September now. Makes very little difference to me one way or the other, but those of you with small children, I would think, are going to be slightly upset by that. Yes, in trouble. I'm probably going to have to pay out for Disney Plus, unfortunately. Interestingly, the Disney Plus app is still staying on Sky, so you can still get that through your Sky box, and you can get it independently as well. So the app will still be there, but you will have to pay extra for it. Unfortunate, but that seems to be the case. Few advanced air dates and pickups as well. Handmaid's Tale, they dropped a little trailer for Handmaid's Tale Season 4 out this week and confirmed that it won't be coming until 2021, which I think is entirely understandable because it got shut down on its filming, so what else can you do? That looks good. The trailer doesn't really give a whole lot away, but I'm very much looking forward to that coming back. There was a new trailer for Brave New World that came out. Sky One are going to be airing that. They're holding that till the autumn, which I kind of understand because they're going to be shorter programmers then, so that would make sense to hold it until autumn. And The Boys Season 2 got an air date as well, which is going to be Friday the 4th of September on Amazon Prime, although they're slightly changing the way they're broadcasting it. It's only going to be episode 1 to 3, which is the way Apple have been doing it actually. It's going to be dropping episodes 1 to 3 on the 4th, and then every episode will come out weekly on Fridays after that. I'm okay with that. I know some people have complained because they like to just binge their way through it, but I quite like the idea of spreading it out a bit. I'm okay with that because it gives me something to look forward to. It gives me a bit of time to digest it, which was the reasoning that he basically gave was there's so much crazy stuff in this series that we wanted to give people a bit of a break and time to digest it in between the episodes.
And I give them, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks of dodging spoilers because they don't watch TV immediately when it comes out.
Well, I rather suspect that idea...
I'm sure it's better, it works better for their bottom line or for their, you know, for advertising and stuff like that, but as a person I prefer watching stuff I can just watch.
It's less to do with the advertising and more to do with the social media engagement, rather than it just being dropped and then people watching it at different times. If you're dropping it on a Friday, it means there is a chance that people will watch it together,
and there's the issue, because when you get that social media engagement, that's when you're dodging spoilers left, right and centre.
Yeah, it means you've got to dodge spoilers once a week because everybody, it's not like a TV show where people may watch it live and you know the exact time that it goes out. Yeah. People will, you know, some people will get up and watch it first thing. Some people won't be able to watch it until they get home. But I guess it's no worse than having something air here the day after it airs in the US. Or, I mean, that sort of.
That's why I don't like weeklies.
But then you're also dodging spoilers if somebody drops it all at once because somebody could binge their way through it and then.
See, that's much easier to deal with in terms of just muting something.
When
it gets weekly, it's far easier for it to sneak onto your timeline.
Yes, because a random story can pop up for like, guess what happened this week? Yeah, I know, fair enough. I actually don't mind the pacing of a sort of weekly thing because it means that I don't feel like I've got to binge my way through it immediately just so I don't get spoiled by stuff. And it also means that because it's spread out a bit more, I have more time to think about it and consider it. And I think with weekly shows, I remember them better when they come back, because otherwise I'll binge through the entire series in a couple of days and then it's got to be like 18 months again before I see it again. So with it being a bit more spread out, it's going to be sort of mid-October before it ends, so there's at least a few months of it running. So I kind of remember things a little bit better, I think, when they're spread out. But there are pluses and minuses to both ways of doing it, I think. But I thought it was interesting that Amazon have gone down this route. I do wonder whether they're going to carry on doing this moving forward or whether this is just a one-off, but
I think it works very well for The Boys just because of how incredibly controversial it is. Mm. As well as like social media, that's like however many weeks of YouTube videos either decrying it or praising how controversial it is.
They did a big Q&A as well, which you can go onto the website. If you go and search The Boys on geektown.co.uk, they did a big Q&A thing where set, they had the whole cast, the type of thing that they would usually do in a theatre somewhere, but they had them all on Zoom and did a sort of interview behind the scenes with all of them and showed some clips of the new season and stuff. So that's on the website if you want to go and check that out if you're a fan of the show. Other pickups, NBC, after we kind of went through everything last week and we talked about pilots and what had been picked up and cancelled and all that sort of stuff, NBC actually confirmed which pilots they were picking up out of the stuff that they had left over. So they've ordered 5 pilots, they've rolled 5 to next season, and they've left 2 in contention. So they had 12 left, and that means that there's none out of those 12 which have been completely discounted. They've still looking at all 12 shows. The ones that they've ordered for pilots are Langdon, which is the show which is based on the Da Vinci Code novel series, stars Ashley Zuckerman, who you will know from Succession as Robert Langdon. He's a younger version of Langdon than we've seen in the Tom Hanks films. So this is taking part in a earlier part of his life. It's when the CIA force him onto a task force where he uncovers a chilling conspiracy. It's based on the 2009 novel, The Lost Symbol, which actually in the books takes place later in his life, but they're going to do what they kind of did with the Alex Rider series, and they're going to monkey around with the time frame a bit. Yep. So they're moving it so it's going to be that story, but earlier in Langdon's life. Comes from Dan Dorkin and Jay Beattie, who are the creators of the Scream TV series and The Crossing.
That's
as
not
well.
Necessarily something you want to tell other people.
No. And The Crossing as well, which only lasted one season.
Maybe don't tell them about those.
Yeah, but The Crossing was all right, actually. It wasn't that bad. Unfortunately, it was just an idea that had been used 20 times already. They have announced some additional cast, which is Eddie Izzard, who I think everybody knows who Eddie Izzard is. Valerie Curry as well, who was in Veronica Mars, The Following, The Tick.
And, I remember her from The Following.
Yeah, I remember her from The Following. And she was also Kara in Detroit Become Human, video game as well. Which
I had that game up pretty good.
Yes, it's a fantastic game if you've not played it. But yeah, she's Kara in that as well. It's got Rick Gonzalez in it from Arrow, with Mad Dog in Arrow. Simile Montano, who was in Nashville and has done a whole host of voiceover work on a bunch of different things. But Star Wars Resistance is one of the latest things. And Bo Knapp, who is in 7 Seconds and Shots Fired as well, are also in the cast. So they've got quite a good cast together, I think, for it. I think Ashley Zuckerman's quite a good pick for a younger Robert Langdon. They missed a trick of not putting Colin Hanks in there, I think, maybe, but you know. But yeah, do you fancy a TV series based on the Da Vinci Code?
Not really. I probably would give this a watch, though.
Yeah.
But it wasn't something that I would necessarily sort of like shout out for. But yeah, I probably would check it out.
It's going to be an interesting one.
I'm not necessarily confident about his chances.
No, and given what they did with the Bone Collector.
Did that get cancelled?
That got canned. Last week.
That's a shame.
Wasn't very good though. And given that NBC, I think it was NBC that did The Bone Collector, and given this is a similar sort of idea of taking a book and turning it into a sort of weekly crime drama, it does worry me slightly. So it depends how they handle it, but could be interesting, depending, you know, if they're going to go more with an episodic thing rather than trying to turn it directly into a procedural, then yes, I'm be interested in it, but we'll have to wait and see what they do with it. Again, these are only pilots, so they might not get picked up to series. The second one is called Ordinary Joe, stars James Wolk, who you will know from Zoo and Watchmen.
Zoo, top 10 summer TV show
yes.
of the last 20 years.
I love that series. Wonderfully bonkers. James Wolk stars as Joe, and it's a sort of sliding doors type drama which has 3 different parallel lives of a character after he makes pivotal choices at a crossroads in his life. The series asks the question how a different life might look if you made your decisions based on love, loyalty, or passion. Choices he makes upon graduation from college change the trajectory of his life, and the resulting decisions are seen in parallel time. It's not an entirely original concept because, you know, sliding doors is very, very similar to this, but it's got an interesting people behind it. Russell Friend and Garrett Lerner, who were 2 of the guys that worked on House, along with Caleb Ranson, who worked on a thing called Diamond Geezer and Distant Shores. also stars Natalie Martinez from The Crossing and The Island, as we were talking about earlier.
Now you're talking.
Charlie Barnett, who was in Arrow and You, and Teddy Sears, who was in The Flash and Chicago Fire. Familiar faces in there, I think, definitely. So could be interesting, I guess. I mean, I like Sliding Doors. That was kind of an interesting concept for a film. I don't know whether doing this as a weekly TV series is sort of, I mean, you know, This Is Us has a sort of element of that. I mean, not so much the sliding doors, but the sort of jumping around in time kind of thing. It's that sort of high concept weirdness for what could be a relatively mundane show. So I don't know. Intrigued?
I'm a big fan of Natalie Martinez. You know, yeah. As I said, I nearly put myself through the island just to see her. I like James' work. It sounds interesting. I just wonder how sort of like how snappy it's going to be. Is it just going to be? I guess it's going to be, you know, one of the piece probably like Married with a Kid, another one. Maybe he's just a bit more free. I do, as you say, wonder how interesting it's going to be after a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Once we know what the situations are we going to go, I would like to know more. It's going to go, okay.
It's one of those things that it's really, really hugely going to come down to how clever the writing is and how they manage to tie the timelines together in such a way that keeps your interest. I can see them doing it. And I mean, writing on House was great, but I don't know. It's an interesting one that it's very, very much going to come down to how clever they manage to be with the writing of it. There is a comedy called Night School that they are piloting. Comes from the Marlon co-creator, Christopher Moynihan. It's based on the 2018 feature film, revolves around unique meets of adults at night school GED prep class who unexpectedly bond over their shared experience and find themselves helping each other's both inside and outside of the classroom. Stars Josh Segarra, who is also in Arrow. There's a lot of the Arrow stars suddenly finding new gigs now. Yeah. Orange is the New Black as well. He was in Shanola Hampton from Shameless, Ian Gomez from Morning Show, Colette Wolfe from AP Bio, James Earl from Wayne, and Joe Massingill from Fear the Walking Dead is the cast for that. Very difficult to tell with comedies, but I don't know. I never really saw Marlon. So.
I guess off the top of my head, I would give that a better chance than the Sliding Doors idea.
Yes.
I can understand that. I feel like I could sell that to people.
Yeah.
Not for me, because I have a whole record with watching comedies, but
yes, I think me too.
And I hope stuff for Josh Gow, because he's a very talented guy, and I've seen him at cons. He's a really nice guy.
The next one's got an Arrow star in it as well. Grand Cree, this one's called. All the Arrow casts seem to have gone to NBC, but Grand Crew, there isn't a whole lot to go on from the description, other than it is a comedy which revolves around a group of black friends, their dating lives, and wine. That's literally the entire description we were given.
That's weird. Very strange.
That's literally the description that was given. It comes from Dan Gore and writer Philip Augusta Jackson. Dan Gore was co-creator of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So based on that alone, there is some decent quality there. The cast includes Echo Kellum from Arrow, Nicole Byer from Tuca and Bernie, Justin Cunningham from When They See Us, Carl Tart from Comedy Bang Bang, and Aaron Jennings from Pure Genius. So I don't know most of those people. Echo Kellum, obviously, Mr. Terrific from Arrow. Nice to see Echo Kellum get a gig on something. I don't know what else you could really say about that show.
Yeah.
And the last one is also a comedy. It's called American Auto. Comes from Justin Spitzer, who was the creator of Superstore. Set in the headquarters of a major American automotive company in Detroit, where a floundering group of executives try to rediscover the company's identity amidst a rapidly changing industry. I think that sounds like an interesting idea for a setup. It's got Anna Gatzia from The Goldbergs, Harriet Dreyer from The Other Guys, ex-Mayo from The Daily Show, Michael Benjamin Washington from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt are starring in the pilot. Sounds like an interesting premise. I think it could be quite a good fun. Yeah. And he did such a good job with Superstore that I know he's got a lot of love and he's quite popular. So could be an interesting comedy, that one.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So just looking through, we got one action show.
Yeah.
We got one drama.
Yeah.
And the rest are comedies.
And three comedies.
Three comedies.
No genre.
And no genre stuff at all.
All the genre stuff has been booted to... Well, of course, it has. Yeah, so those are the five which they are definitely piloting this season. We don't know when they're going to be able to shoot it, but they've got casts. They are piloting them. We just don't know when for those. In terms of the other stuff, the five that they rolled to next season... One of them was Echo, which we mentioned a bit last week. It's a bit like, as I think Bex pointed out, Quantum Leap or Travelers, but it's set as a crime procedural. It revolves around a team of investigators who solve the highest profile crimes by sending heroes into the past, into the bodies of the victim. They assume the victim's identity and must race against time to prevent the crime before it happens. Comes from J.J. Bailey, stars Janina Gavankar.
Janina Gavankar from The Morning Show, also Sleepy Hollow, also Star Wars Battlefront.
Right.
You should know her from.
Yes, she's one of the people casting it. Reed Scott from Veep, Richard Brooks from Bosch, and Wesem Keish from For the People as well.
And Awkward.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember him.
And Awkward as well.
Oh, goodness.
I mean...
I'm going to be brutal. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
That sounds like it's going to get cancelled.
Yes, that's got sort of one season written all over it, if it even gets picked up in the first place.
Sounds terrible. That sounds like timeless, but without really... high chemistry trio to keep it going.
Well, we don't know. They might have good chemistry. We don't know.
That does not sound good.
I'm not entirely convinced. And it depends where they're going into the past. And surely going into the past to mess about with crime
doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird premise because you're then going back to alter your own history.
Yeah. What's stopping you from buying a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
And send the money off to your kid or your father or something?
Yeah.
That's a mess, and I don't know what they were thinking. putting that through to pilot.
There are a lot of potential plot holes in that, unless they found a way of working around it. I struggle a little bit with that.
I find it hard to believe that at NBC's network meeting, whatever, of all the sci-fi and genre shows, they felt that was the best one that came to them. I know 2 years ago, 1 year ago, whenever it happened, because I just don't believe it.
Yes, that's called Echo anyway. And that's been rolled to next season. We've got one called At That Age, which is a drama. It's from Carla Banks Waddles, who is the creator or one of the writers of Good Girls, which I know is very popular. It's an exploration of African-American family's legacy. After the Cooper family's golden child suffers a catastrophic event, seven family members face a foundational shift to make life-altering decisions and deal with deep secrets coming to light. So, I mean, it sounds like a pretty standard set up for a family drama. That sounds like a
This Is Us. It sounds like a really melodrama. You're going to be crying a lot.
I think so.
I would say that's got a pretty decent chance of finding itself at Arming.
Yeah, I mean, it's the type of thing that goes down quite well on NBC as well, so that's got a possibility. There are some comedies. There is Crazy for You, which stars Shelley Henning from Teen Wolf.
Yeah, she's great.
Daisy, who with her life storing re-enters the dating scene only to discover that while she was out of the game sort of totally completely changed. Realizing she's a bit rusty being normal and appealing on first dates, she needs the support of her friends as she strives to succeed while being her true self in today's quick to dismiss dating culture. I mean, again, that just doesn't have anything that really grabs me, but
it sounds like every other comedy that features a young woman.
I'm not convinced by the premise of it. It is from Lorne Michaels, who is the god behind SNL, and Seth Meyers as well is one of the producers on it. So fine, but doesn't really leap out at me as being something that I'm particularly interested in. And then there's Jeffries as well, which is another comedy. We mentioned this a bit last week. It's written by Jim Jeffries and Susan Martin from Will and Grace and Frasier. It stars Jeffries as a fictionalized version of himself, comedian with a unique and often controversial take on modern life, relationships and co-parenting with his best friend, played by Breaking Bad and Life in Pieces star Betsy Brandt. I would quite happily watch this because it's got Jim Jeffries in it, and I do think he's very, very funny. I think he's a brilliant stand-up comedian. It's the same thing we've seen with things like Curb Your Enthusiasm or Louis, the show that will not be named. But it's the same sort of premise that we've seen with that, of people playing fictionalized versions of themselves. I think it's a tried and tested formula, very much lives or dies on the personality of the comedian taking the lead role. I think Jim Jeffries is a perfectly good person to do this sort of comedy. He's wonderfully strange. I think it could be quite interesting, but I'd be happy enough to watch that. I think that's an interesting one. The last one in terms of the ones that have been kicked to next year is called another comedy. It's called Someone Out There. Stars Ryan Hansen from Veronica Mars and Amy Carrero from The Village as Derek and Chloe, two set in their ways adults who are challenged by very unexpected strangers to become the best versions of themselves in order to find love and possibly each other. It's based on a Spanish series. Comes from Matt Hubbard, who is one of the guys involved in 30 Rock, along with Josh Segal and Dylan Morgan, who wrote The Good Place and 30 Rock. Also stars Neil Casey from Avenue 5 and Kima Behuma from Atypical. As the premise, I'm kind of a bit, whatever. But the fact it's got people from 30 Rock and The Good Place behind it, I would give it a watch purely based on that.
I think the premise sounds reasonably interesting. I think they could go somewhere with that. We already know that because it's based on a show. So I guess it's a question of how the Americans will take to it.
Yeah, and
because there was that, was it that The Bake and the Beauty or something like that? Whatever, they cancelled recently.
Yeah, and that was based on
that was huge in Israel or something.
Yeah, that was based on a import series as well. So yeah, I mean, I think some things work, some things don't. But I think
Homeland was based on
Israeli series.
So sometimes. It works.
Yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I think purely based on the people that are behind it, I'd be just interested to see what that's like. So that's 10 of them. The last two, still both in contention and may get pickups without any more work being done on them. There's one called Debris, which we mentioned last week, and the other called La Brea. Both of these are genre shows. They are at various different points. Debris had already shot a load of footage before the shutdown, so... Yeah. Could get picked up purely based on the stuff that they had actually shot. La Brea hadn't shot anything, but NBC did order a bunch of additional scripts. So that's usually a fairly positive sign that there is some interest in it. So Debris stars Ryan Steele from Holby City and Jonathan Tucker from Westworld and City on a Hill. They play an MI6 agent and a CIA agent. They're from different continents, obviously, because one's British and one's American. Two different mindsets who worked together to investigate when a wreckage from destroyed alien spacecraft has a mysterious effect on humankind. Very, very X-Files as far as I can tell so far. The MI6 agent played by Steele is the rule follower, while Tucker's character is the sort of headstrong, smart operative who is the CIA guy, and he's the one that's sort of investigating the strange occurrences. So it is pretty much sounding like X-Files by another name at this point.
Yeah, sounds right.
The thing that this has going for it for me as well, it comes from J.H. Wyman, who was a writer on Fringe and the creator of Almost Human. I think purely based on that, because Almost Human, it's tragic that that didn't go further than it did.
That show was awesome.
That show was awesome, and I was really annoyed that that didn't go further than it did. He also wrote on Fringe as well, which was a phenomenal series.
Yeah, I love Fringe.
So if anybody can pull this off, I think it's him. It does sound very X-Files, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. As Beck sort of said last week, it does kind of hinge on what this mysterious effect that it's having on humankind is.
Yeah, it does.
Because the rest of the premise is basically X-Files. Interesting, and I would be intrigued to see more of that.
It also reminds me of a show that got cancelled after one season called Threshold.
Right, okay.
It was a very similar thing in that I think someone somewhere found some what looks like pieces of a craft or something, and they sent in a bunch of experts, and they're affected by it. And it had Brent Spiner was one of them.
Right, okay. Yeah, vague recollection of that. The other series, La Brea, we talked a bit about last week, and does sound a zoo level of silly to me. It's the show that sees a massive sinkhole open up in the center of Los Angeles, which tears the Castillo family in half, separating the mother, played by Natalie Z from Justified and the Following.
Oh yeah, I know who that is, yeah.
Son from their father, played by Michael Raymond James, who was in Once Upon a Time in True Blood, and the daughter. So it basically splits this family up. The part of the family, presumably the part that falls into the hole, find themselves in an unexplained primeval world alongside a disparate group of strangers. They must work to survive and uncover the mystery of where they are and if there is a way back home. I mean, it sounds like a very, very silly premise.
It does.
I kind of want to see it, though. I think that it could be quite
that sounds
fun.
Like a, that sounds like a summer show to me.
Yeah, it does. It completely sounds like a summer show to me. It sounds stupid and ridiculous, but it's strangely appealing to watch. John Slater is one of the people in the cast as well from Chicago PD. You've got Rita Angel Taylor from Sunnyside Up, Katrina Logue from NCIS Los Angeles, Angel Parker from Runaways, Catherine Dent from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Veronica St. Clair from 13 Reasons Why. So there's a few other people in there. There's a few faces that you might recognize. Assuming these people are all still attached by the time they actually get round to, you know, if it gets picked up and all that sort of stuff. Because obviously with that, they've not actually shot anything. It will very much depend on whether that goes. Both Debris and La Brea are still said to be in contention. They've not been dropped. Debris has shot some stuff. La Brea hasn't shot anything, but had an additional script order, so they wanted to see more scripts. That possibly means that La Brea could get picked up without them actually filming anything, or they may still want to shoot a pilot for it, but we don't know at the moment. So they're still in a little bit in limbo, but those two may still emerge sooner rather than later. Anything particular there jump out at you as things that you definitely want to see?
I would probably put La Brea at the top as the best. When I then go Debris, those are the things that push out me. I would try Crazy Fetus because I'm a big fan of Shelley Henning. I like what she did on Teen Wolf.
Right, yeah.
That's how I base a lot of my TV show choices.
On
if
the
I'm
actors.
Going to something, it's like, yeah, if the actor has done something in the past, you think it's like, I would ironically watch Echo.
Yeah. I mean, if Echo gets made, that I will probably take a look at. I will look at the Langdon series as well. It very much depends on whether they try to bend it into a procedural with that.
I would probably watch that as well, because probably if I read the book, I would be a lot less likely to want to watch it.
Yes, yeah.
Because I try to stay away from book things now.
Yeah, adaptations. I do like the sound of Debris. I do like the sound of La Brea as well. I think La Brea sounds wonderfully silly. Jeffries, the Jim Jeffries comedy, out of the ones that they have ordered pilots of, probably Langdon, maybe Ordinary Joe, just because I like the cast that is involved, but yeah. I'm not big on any of the comedies particularly, other than
American Auto. Was that the one you should like? Sound off.
American Auto does look interesting, and someone out there, possibly purely because it's of the people behind it, or people behind 30 Rock and The Good Place, and I rather like their humour, so that could be interesting. That's all the NBC stuff. As I said, the first five definitely ordered to pilot. The second five have been booted to next season to potentially pilot, and then those last two, Debris and La Brea, may or may not get picked up. They're kind of in limbo at the moment because they've had some work done already. Outside of NBC, Apple have ordered a new comedy series. This is called The After Party, and it's from Chris Miller and Phil Lord, who I think most people will know as being the people behind The Lego Movie, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, a bunch of other things as well. These guys are brilliant, and they come up with some wonderfully strange things. The After Party is described as a murder mystery comedy set at a high school reunion after party. Each of the 8 episodes will be a retelling of the same night through a different character's perspective, each with their own unique visual format and film genre to match the teller's personality. So I do wonder if there's going to be a certain amount of animated stuff in there.
Yeah, I wonder if it would be animated.
It doesn't sound like the whole thing's going to be animated. It may be a mix of both of them. What was it? They did one called Son of Zorn, which was a mix of animated and live action, and I do wonder whether maybe there is a...
Oh, wasn't that weird He-Man looking guy?
Yes, the weird He-Man looking guy. They were involved as exec producers on that, so I don't know, maybe there's a certain amount of that. So it doesn't specifically say whether it is animated or live action, but it could be some sort of mix of genres. Miller is serving as creator and showrunner and exec producer, while Lord is also exec producing, so it seems it's Miller pretty much driving it. They of course shot to fame as the directors of the wonderfully silly Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, then Lego movies. They were exec producers on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. They wrote and produced on How I Met Your Mother, Last Man on Earth, Son of Zorn. They were attached to the Solo movie before they got scared, before Disney got rather scared and kicked them off and replaced them with Ron Howard. I still would have loved to have seen that Solo movie with them in charge. But, I mean, they're a really interesting duo. And the fact that Apple have picked up this series, I quite like the premise as well, the idea that it's a sort of eight stories of the same night but told from different perspectives, so you get different bits revealed.
Sound quite interesting.
Yeah, so that sounds like it could be quite good fun, I think. That could be interesting. That's one to look out for. Don't know when that's going to land, but obviously it's probably not going to be until at least next year before we see that. Lastly, Cobra Kai, the Karate Kid sequel TV series, that has found a new home. It is no longer going... Well, I don't want to say it's no longer going to be on YouTube, but we'll get into that. It is going to be on Netflix, though, all three seasons of it. So that's the two seasons that have gone out, and the upcoming third season will be on Netflix. For those of you that don't know about Cobra Kai, it's set 30 years after the events of the All Valley Karate Tournament, where a now successful Daniel struggles to maintain balance in his life without guidance of Mr. Miyagi and must fight his previous adversary, down and out Johnny, who seeks redemption by reopening the infamous Cobra Kai Karate Dojo. I think I watched the first season of it. I haven't actually got around to watching the second, but it is really good. It's great fun. It's an interesting sort of thing of not being a remake. It's got the original cast members back and they're playing older versions of those characters. It's seeing where they went. I really like it. The stunt work is brilliant in it. We've interviewed the guys behind the husband and wife team called Hiro Koda and Janelle Kaufman, who are the stunt coordinators, who were nominated for an Emmy for that show. It's just really solid, and I'm quite glad that Netflix have picked it up. The reason that it's moved off YouTube is YouTube are moving away from doing scripted drama, and they basically said, if it stays here, we'll air the third season because you've made it, but that'll be it. And they wanted the ability to try. They basically told them in advance, if you stay on the platform, we're not going to pay you to make any more of it. And they said, well, can we go and sell it to somebody else? And they said yes. So that's basically what happened, and that's why it's moving off YouTube and onto Netflix. And the agreement sees the first two seasons moving across onto Netflix. I'm not sure whether the first two seasons are staying on YouTube as well. I don't know. That may be the case. It's not entirely clear. I don't know what that deal was, but certainly all three seasons will be on Netflix. It won't be a case of watching half on YouTube and then Netflix for the third season. So it will have all three seasons on there. We don't know when the third season, in fact, we don't know when any of them are actually moving over yet, but I'm sure there will be a big announcement when they do. They're going to drop the first and second season on first, and then the third season is going to go on. So yeah, I would definitely say go watch this if you haven't seen it yet. Have you watched any of this?
No.
It is
really appeal to me.
If you're sort of, certainly if you're my sort of age, then and have fond memories of the original, it is worth going to watch. I really enjoyed it. It was great fun. Like I say, a lot of the stunt work is really good, and I'm glad that they've got home on Netflix, because they might be able to bump up the budget a bit as well and do more stuff with it. So really, really solid. We'll let you know when that makes the move over. All we know at the moment is it is moving over at some point. So that's it for the news this week. Next up, we have highlights for next week on TV. Not many shows coming next week, but we have got some big, interesting ones. The biggest one probably being Penny Dreadful City of Angels, which comes to Sky Atlantic on the 1st of July at 9 p.m. This is a sort of follow-up, sequel-ish kind of to the original Penny Dreadful series. It's got no direct connection as far as I'm aware, but it's set in 1938 Los Angeles. So if you like the original Penny Dreadful, this will be an interesting new take for you to look at. But that's coming on the 1st of July to Sky Atlantic and NetTV at 9 p.m. Then we have Warrior Nun, which we mentioned last week. That's the new series from based on the comic book. That's from Ghost Wars and continuing creator Simon Barry. That comes on the 2nd of July, about a kick-ass demon-fighting nun. And you've got season 2 of Hannah. That comes to Amazon Prime on the 3rd of July. Also on the 3rd of July, I just wanted to mention Hamilton, the musical, is coming to Disney Disney Plus, which I am stupidly excited about because I can never afford or have time to go and get tickets to see it. And it's a full recording version of the stage show. It's brilliant, and the music is brilliant. So I'm really looking forward to being able to watch that. But 3rd of July, that's coming to Disney Plus. That's Hamilton. And then Nosferatu season 2 of that comes to AMC in the UK on the 7th of July. That's obviously a supernatural thriller based on the book by Joe Hill. And that's everything for this week, unless you've got anything else you want to mention.
No, that's all. I recommend, as you just mentioned, Simon Barry, that one season of Ghost Wars. That's an amazing show. If you like horror films, fairly gruesome ones with a bit of a story, it's a great show.
I really enjoyed Continuum as well, so I will give Warrior Nun a try, definitely. So, since you've not been on for a while, you've started another podcast.
I have indeed. So, I write for Hollywood News Source, and I've started a podcast. It's called The Source, and you can find it on anchor.fm, Source HNS, or one word. We're up to 6 episodes now. So far, we've talked about a few movies, a few TV shows. We've talked about the film Bit, which stars Nicole Maines from Supergirl. We talked about The Half of It, that Netflix interesting take on Cyrano de Bergerac, which I definitely recommend. Last episode was a special Pride Month celebration where we talked about LGBT ships that we saw light and that really appealed to us. And we talked about Stargirl in episode 4, the pilot. Cool. Just to give people an idea of what to expect.
Good. So, yeah, go and check that on Anchor FM. That sounds like a good thing to go and look at. And they can find your writing over at Hollywood News Source as well.
Indeed, they can.
So go and check that out. Of course, for other people that are involved with the podcast, you can check out Bex on twitch.com/TristaBytes. That's Bytes with a Y, who is streaming pretty much daily around lunchtime and is also streaming various evenings. So go and check her out. Her streams are hilariously funny. And she's got a Scream stream where she streams Alien Isolation. And it's absolutely hilarious because you can set off things that make her squeal a lot. And it's just very, very funny. You can also go and check out Matt over at Entertainment Talk for a lot more podcasts over there as well. That's entertainmenttalk.org. For us, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. We've also added a new feature, a never miss feature on the website. So if you go onto the website, if you go to any of the TV show pages, you can now put your email address in at the bottom of the TV show page and you will get an email alert when that is updated with a confirmed air date in the UK as well. So you can go and do that. Now Sky haven't got a never miss feature that they used to have. They ditched it. So we came up with that as a replacement. So you can go and find that. Go to the website at geektown.co.uk. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. You can leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, at Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, at YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at Geektown UK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.